You're listening to Hey Bitches Podcast, episode 126. Hey Bitches, what is up, you guys? It's your girl, Carly. Welcome back to Hey Bitches Podcast. Hope you guys are having an incredible day. Today we are doing an updated slash revisiting episode all about safe sex. This is an episode that has been posted on Hey Bitches before. However, I wanted to come on here and do kind of a new and updated segment or section about the biggest portion that we talked about, which was contraception and birth control. Today we're joined by Dallas, who is the founder of Rhea Health, which is a really, really great conversation. I learned so much about types of birth control, the statistics around birth control. I also learned, this is so crazy, you'll hear it in the episode, but I learned that apparently on average, it takes women 5 times to find a birth control that works for them, which I think is crazy. So in today's episode, I'm really excited to be joined by Dallas to talk through all things birth control, contraception, and everything in between, as well as revisit things like STDs, yeast infections, bacterial vaginosis, and so much more. So with that being said, let's get into the episode. All right, you guys, next up, we have a special guest on the podcast to talk all things birth control, contraception, and everything in between. I would love for you to introduce yourself.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so happy to be here. My name is Dallas, and I'm the founder and CEO of Rhea Health.
Amazing. I would love for you to kind of explain to the people before we dive into this what Rhea is, what Rhea does, and give us kind of like the backstory of it all.
So Rhea Health is a user-focused contraceptive counseling tool that helps people navigate their birth control journey. So everything from trying to find a birth control option that they like to tracking any side effects and really providing personalized insights and information so that they can make confident and comfortable decisions about their birth control and family planning journey. This all kind of stemmed from my own experience with birth control and not being able to find an option that I liked, that worked with me, my lifestyle, and that fit with my body, really. So I started on birth control maybe when I was like 16, 17, and first went on the pill. It was prescribed to me so casually. I don't even remember the brand name that I first started using. And that was, you know, the start of it all, this oh so common, grueling trial and error process that too many people have to endure through experiencing negative side effects and trying one option and not feeling like themselves and then trying another option and experiencing some setbacks that they're just not comfortable with. It's time consuming, frustrating, you know, takes a toll on your mental health and your emotional well-being. One option in particular that I tried, I developed ovarian cysts on that were so painful. I was admitted to the hospital and this was the last straw. I was like, this is insane. It should not be this difficult to find a birth control option that I like, that my body likes. So I ended up taking a few months off of any hormonal birth control methods and tried to learn as much as I could about contraceptives, the options available to me, their potential side effects, and about the female body and my body and how those two things can work together. And through that process, I ended up finding an option that I thought could work well for me. And I went to my doctor, asked for it. He wrote up a prescription, easy as that. And that was one of the best birth control methods that I have tried. And I was on it for about 3 years. And I felt totally like myself. That experience in itself was so empowering that I thought, you know, if this problem goes beyond me, I want to help people avoid the grueling trial and error process and feel confident in their health choices. And in this case, that being birth control. So the idea of Rhea sort of transitioned and grown over its almost year and a half life. But our main mandate is to put the individual at the forefront of this decision-making process and really meet them where they're at and have conversations about their goals with birth control and where they're coming from, their lifestyle, their special circumstances, and help them navigate this process.
Yeah, absolutely. We were briefly chit-chatting before, but I was sharing about how, you know, I'm in so many Facebook groups and I have so many friends and stuff like that that have struggled with their birth control. And like, I have friends who kind of were in that same boat as you before you found something that worked for you that literally just don't take it now because it just does not, you know, they just haven't found out something that like vibes with them. But obviously they still want to be sexually active and they still, you know, want to do these things. But now there's that added layer of like, okay, well, I'm not on birth control. So, but like, I also don't want to take the pill because it's making me feel like shit. So what do I do? And so I love that because so many people, I think, struggle with this. I shared with you earlier about like my own birth control journey. And just for you guys listening, I've done a whole episode on this and I'll recap you guys very quickly on this. But essentially, I started off with a NuvaRing because I knew that like I could not just take a pill every day. I have ADHD. I can like barely take my ADHD meds every day. And I just knew that if I wanted to be sexually active, I needed some type of contraception and the pill was just not going to do it because it would be ineffective because I just wouldn't be taking it. So I needed an option and my doctor at the time was just like, okay, well, NuvaRing could be the vibe. And I was like, cool. I liked it for a little bit and never really, I think, the whole like point of those types of ones is like it's supposed to sync with your cycle. So when you take it out, you get your period. And when you put it back in, like you're not supposed to have your period. It just never worked for me. So I was like, is it working? Like actually how it's supposed to. So then I transitioned into an IUD. And so I had a 3-year IUD at first and now I have a 5-year IUD and I'm really happy with it. But I feel like for me, just like the 2-step birth control is very abnormal. Like I feel like a lot of people have a way longer journey of finding something that works for them that doesn't make them feel fucking awful. Or people are just like suffering through it because they're like, well, I don't want to have a kid right now, so I'll just stay on this birth control pill that's making me feel like shit.
Yeah, too often we're forced to choose between the lesser of two evils, which is like so not how healthcare and our body journeys should be. But you raised a really good point at the very beginning of all of that in saying your friends and people you know have gotten to this point where they've given up. And there's actually a statistic that reflects this. It's crazy. A third of people who use birth control try 5 or more options before they find one they like, or at that point, they're just giving up. And like, that's crazy to me.
That is, that's actually crazy.
Yeah.
5.
That's so many things, 5 or more. And this, yeah, it's hard for me to wrap my head around and it's so sad. I mean, I tried, I think, 6 before I found like that option that I was like, okay, this is it. Like, this is refreshing. This feels good for me. And it really shouldn't be that way. There's a huge part of it that like uterus owners and menstruators, they have just been culturally and societally conditioned that we have to try 5 or 6 different birth control methods, and that's normal, but it doesn't have to be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Mind you, like there's different changes in your lifestyle, and maybe that's happened more frequently for you than it has for somebody else. So you could just like by the natural course of things, change your option. Because your life is changing and that's totally fine as well. But if you're going through this trial and error process, that's something that's quite sensitive. You're dealing with your body, your emotions, and it's something that we need to pay closer attention to.
Absolutely. And this is what I mean. Like I said, when I was like, I only had to go through 2 essentially birth control options to be like, ah, yes, this is the one for me. Like it's crazy. Cause I didn't even know that was that statistic. That's 5 or more. Like it's mm-hmm. wild to me that like that even, cause even 2 is like crazy to me, like because,
oh, yeah.
But 5 or more is wild. Like it's insane. So I would love to actually on the topic of like types of birth control and stuff like that, I would love to kind of discuss types of birth control because I feel like there's the pill. I've shared that about my NuvaRing, the IUD, but I would love to kind of get more into different types of contraceptions because I know there's so many, but for me, I haven't had exactly a lot of experience with them. And I would love to kind of chat through the different types of birth control that is out there right now.
For sure. And I am the most familiar on Canadian options available. And I should actually, Carly, also preface all of this by saying, you know, I'm not a medical professional, and everything that I share and that I talk about is based off of research and the things that I've learned throughout this process. But for starters, when you're looking at contraceptive options, the easiest way to categorize them is, first, you have your hormonal options and your non-hormonal options. And this is a really great spot to start if you want to go the natural finger quotations route, or using hormones. And typically the hormonal options are more effective. We're getting a lot better within our research and the options available and the tools to support people in using non-hormonal methods that increase the efficacy of those methods, which is awesome. Absolutely love it. So on the non-hormonal side, of course, you have all of your barrier methods. So these are things like your internal and external condoms, so the female and the male condoms, if you will. You have the cervical cap, diaphragm, and then there's the sponge. And the sponge is best used with spermicide. However, sometimes people experience some irritation with spermicide. It's basically just like this lotion that you put one-time use sponge into your vagina, and then it just like traps all of the sperm from entering your uterus. So again, it's a similar, another barrier method. That one doesn't protect against STIs like the internal and external condoms do, but another really great option for people who are wanting that non-hormonal method.
This is so funny because I felt like when I did my last episode, I did a lot of research, but like I have never even heard of things like a cervical cap, or really understood about how like a cervical, or not a cervical sponge, like a sponge and a spermicide even worked together. So that's really interesting because I truly don't know much about non-hormonal types of birth control. I know some people do like cycle tracking and like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to jump into that. Mm-hmm.
But like that's as far as that goes for me.
Yeah, so the cervical cap is like, you can think of it similar to like your menstrual cup, like your Diva cup, but it's not as long or deep, and it sits at the base of your cervix, so like the top of your vagina, and then it just works as another barrier method, and then you can take it out, and it's something that you're actually able to reuse, which is lovely. Whereas a lot of the other barrier methods, like condoms, of course, they're only single use. So there are tons of great non-hormonal options out there, but oftentimes with the cervical cap, some doctors will want to do a fitting first to make sure that you know what you're doing, you have it in place, because it can, you know, there's a lot of room for error if you don't know how to place it properly. So there is that bit of a barrier there, but it's minor in my opinion. There's also, as you mentioned, the cycle tracking. So this has gotten like a huge new wave of support in recent years.
Absolutely.
Amazing, because not only is it a great pregnancy prevention tactic, but also a really great way for you to get in tune with your body and learn about your cycle. And this can open up a whole host of opportunities for you, and really being able to understand what your body needs at different points within your cycle. That being food and exercise and different types of self-care methods and all of these really great things that essentially helps you live a happy, thriving life. But with the fertility awareness method, you essentially track your cycle, so you know the days in which you are fertile. So there's only about, you know, six days out of a person's menstrual cycle where they are actually at risk of getting pregnant. And so if you know when this is happening within your cycle, you can either avoid sex that those days or be extra cautious. And it's a great, way to prevent pregnancy and a great non-hormonal birth control option. There are tools out there now, apps that help you track this, and you can track your ovulation based on just like going by the calendar and knowing when your period is. But you can also take your basal body temperature in the morning, go by your cervical mucus. The most accurate and effective way to do this is by using a combination of all three of those or two, one or the other. So it increases the effectiveness of the method in that way. And beyond that, I guess going back to the hormonal options, these generally use synthetic progesterones, known as progestins, and some include estrogen as well. So there's so many. Of course, you have the pill, the IUD, the ring, as we've talked about. You can get a shot. Canada actually just back in, almost going on a year now, they implemented the implant. It was not available in Canada before, but it has been available in over 100 countries for decades prior to
this. That's
actually
really interesting. I never knew that we didn't have the implant. I feel like I never considered it, so I never knew that we didn't. But I feel like for some reason I was always aware that you could have a birth control implant.
Yeah, because it's so common elsewhere. All around the world, people get implants. And it is another great long-term birth control option that's super effective. It's similar to the idea of an IUD where it's a device inserted into your body. The implant in particular goes like right inside your upper arm, like kind of on the inner part of your bicep. And it's just like a small little device that releases hormones at a consistent rate, similar to an IUD.
That's wild.
Fun little fact. So with all of these options, there's so many things to consider to figure out, you know, which one you might want to try, the form of option, how long it lasts, how much you're involved in the day-to-day or, you know, the use of that option. Some people really like being in control of that and being able to start and stop the option on their own, whereas other people just like, okay, one medical procedure, one visit to my doctor, one and done, and I'm good for, you know, 3 or 5 years plus. Ooh, speaking of, I forgot a really important non-hormonal option, the copper IUD.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'm missing more too. There's so many, which is lovely. I mean, I think we could always use more options available to us, but we do have a great list available for menstruators. But the copper IUD is another non-hormonal, long-lasting option that is one of the most effective birth control methods. My favorite fun fact about the copper IUD is that it's also can be used as an emergency contraceptive. So if you have a situation where you are, you know, at risk for an unplanned pregnancy or had unprotected sex, then you can get a copper IUD inserted and it starts working immediately and it works as a emergency contraceptive like Plan B would.
Whoa. That's crazy. I had no idea. Well, I guess too, because my IUD is hormonal. So like you got to put it in there like, okay, well in XYZ amount of days, now you can start having sex because it has to, you know, release the hormones into your body and stuff to start actually working. But I had no idea that you can use a copper IUD as emergency contraceptive.
Yeah.
Like it just worked like immediately upon arrival.
Exactly. So it all has to do with the copper material itself. So copper makes the uterus a very like non-hospitable place for sperm to live, and it inhibits the implantation of a fertilized egg. So even if conception were to have happened, by inserting a copper IUD, it makes this impossible for that to carry on and to develop into a pregnancy.
That's crazy. I literally had no idea. And it's like it's a non-hormonal option, I guess. I know there's a lot of people who have been thinking more about non-hormonal options because they've gone through, you know, trial and error with hormonal birth control and it's just like not the move for them, especially to a lot of people who take other medications. Because there's a lot of people who, for example, are on like an antidepressant or are on ADHD meds or anything like that. And the mix of those sometimes are not the vibes, essentially. So the people have to be like, well, do I want to take my birth control or do I want to take my antidepressants? Like what's my priority currently?
Yeah, for sure. And that's something, you know, your doctor can help you work more through, but there are so many things to consider when choosing a birth control method. So having really great go-to non-hormonal options can be wonderful for people, as you say, who are on other medications that don't mix well with hormonal ones, or if they have contraindications to certain contraceptives. So meaning some type of medical condition that, you know, puts them at higher risk for things or makes it unsafe for them to use synthetic hormones. If you're higher risk of blood clots, it's best if you steer clear of estrogen or be very mindful of it and use a very low dose and keep an eye on things and how you're feeling. But yeah, having these non-hormonal options is great. So copper IUD is another one, and it's long lasting again. There are, you know, people do report having heavier bleeds and more cramping around their periods, but this is something that some people are willing to have and tolerate based on the, you know, happy trade-offs that come. But again, that's not everybody. Everyone's experience to birth control is varying, and side effects are varying depending on the individual.
Absolutely. And I would kind of love to talk about, I feel like everybody kind of has the understanding, like, we should be having safe sex. Like, I should be on some type of contraception, like, regardless if that's, like, just using a condom or having an IUD or, you know, cycle tracking or XYZ. But I think that a lot of the time people are like, well, how do I kind of know which one is best for me? And I feel like that's kind of where Rhea comes in. So I would love to talk about the process of all of that and how you kind of, like, I guess, expedite the process of, like, finding something that works for you.
Sure. So the main problems, I think, that come from, as you and I were chatting, people are trying so many different options, they're trying 5, 6+. The reason for this oftentimes is one, misinformation and not enough information, and having a lack of preparedness going into trying a new option and experiencing side effects that someone just wasn't even expecting. That can be so jarring and upsetting for people that they go off that option altogether or switch, try something else, or, you know, stop using birth control. Also, too often, I'm like almost triggered here, birth control is seen as a one size fits all way too commonly. Doctors are also really busy people. They may only have 10 minutes, 15 minutes with each patient, and that's really just not enough time to dive deep into all the different options available, their potential side effects, what should you be prepared for when going to try one of these options, how that option works, and how it impacts your body. So often what ends up happening is the physician will prescribe or hand out what they are most familiar with, what they have free samples of. And it, of course, mind you, as long as there's no contraindication or medical reason why that individual shouldn't be using one of those options. But generally doctors have their go-tos, and it's not always what's best for that particular person. So when we open the floor and create space for people to have conversations with themselves about where they're coming from in their life, what they want in a birth control option, you know, the risks that are associated and how their body might respond to each option can play a significant role in the efficacy, meaning how well that option works for that person. So our system with Rhea is sort of a twofold. We have a very comprehensive intake process where we ask a series of questions that paints a really good picture about the individual. So our system collects information on the person's medical history, of course, their hormonal profile, their past experience with birth control, their preferences and their boundaries when it comes to birth control as well, to then use that to present the individual with 1 to 3 birth control options that could work really well for them. And we explain why. So what in their profile, letter system to suggest one of those options, how that option works, potential side effects, etc. From there, we then provide a personalized next steps plan. So helping people access their birth control, how to have a focused conversation with their doctor to access one of these options if needed anyway. unfortunately, right now, actually, by the time this podcast will come out, we have a partnership with a telehealth company that does online consulting, doctor consultations with patients in Ontario only at this point. So we will be able to provide birth control delivery services and online prescriptions for our Ontario users, which is huge, so exciting. And more partnerships of this sort will be coming to increase access to birth control for people all over Canada and then North America thereafter. We then help support people through that trial phase of trying a new option. So helping them track their side effects, how they're feeling, providing one-on-one support to enable them to feel confident and comfortable with the option that they choose and use. And ultimately to answer the question, you know, do you like this option? And if not, fuck, that's okay. There are others, or we can, you know, have more conversations around, you know, why, and if there's anything that you can do within your lifestyle or habit building or diet that can make this option better suited for you. So there's so many things at play here, but ultimately, one of the main things is asking questions, going through the intake process, super, super helpful. But my favorite thing that I've coined as being your birth control boundaries is setting out beforehand, before you try a new option, what you're willing to tolerate and at what severity and for how long. This often is not discussed, and it can present really good markers and indicators for somebody deciding if an option is working for them during that trial phase. So for instance, I'll give an example. If you were thinking of trying the IUD, for instance, you might outline all of the different side effects that you could be at risk of experiencing, or just changes in your life that you might be at risk for, and figuring out what you're willing to tolerate with for each one. So I went on the IUD, and at this point I didn't have, you know, this methodology in place. This was before Rhea, but when thinking about going on the IUD, I was like, I knew that there is this adjustment period that you have to go through. That's 3 to 6 months. And I was willing to have cramping at a moderate way, like that, you know, wouldn't interfere with my life. I could take some Advil or ibuprofen and use a hot water bottle and mitigate that pain. But I was willing to endure that, I suppose, for a few months while my body adjusted. Mm-hmm. That ended up not being the case. Quick fast forward, I was in much more pain for way longer than I should have endured. And knowing that, I was like, okay, this has crossed a personal line for me. This has gone beyond a boundary that I have set for myself. So it's time to revisit this. And at that point, you can either revisit it and think, okay, maybe this side effect or the symptom that I'm experiencing isn't as bad as I thought, and I'm willing to, you know, still continue to give my body the space to adjust and work it out. So I'm willing to, you know, move my boundary a bit. Or it could be the flip side and be like, this is not cool. It's time to revisit the option. And that's totally okay. You are able to switch birth control methods. You know, we've just named like a whole handful, a bucket full of options that are available that work really well. And that's exciting. We need to embrace all the different options available, but it is important to outline these boundaries and tolerances beforehand, before you try an option, so that you have these different checkpoints and check-ins with yourself, and you can have these conversations and really figure out if an option is working for you or not.
And so that's actually something that I really like about Rhea, is I feel like people go on birth control or they start new meds or anything like that, and in their head, they have like their personal checkpoint and everything, but then they'll ignore it because they'll be like, oh, well, whatever. And it's not like you have like your doctor constantly checking in. Like,
oh no, they have the whole waiting room of patients. They're not.
Exactly. So rare if they follow up. I think that this is like actually really good, because a lot of people will just continue with, you know, uncomfortability until it comes to a point where they're like, I can't do it anymore. And then, you know, you're like you put yourself through unnecessarily, like just a bunch of time where you didn't have to feel that way because you didn't have someone to constantly be like, this is kind of how I'm feeling. Like, these are the side effects I've been experiencing, da 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 da, and knowing that you had options. Like, I also was thinking too, while you were talking about how there's a lot of people, like, that it's no secret that, like, people my age are phone call afraid. These people don't like to call their doctors. These people don't like to call their dentists. It's not me. I love a phone call. But, like, a lot of people just don't do that. So I think that's also, like, a big deterrent to change as well, is, like, picking up the phone and being like, hey, I need to book a doctor's appointment. Like, so many people experience a lot of, like, medical anxiety around that. So having this as an option as well of, like, having somebody check in, but you don't have to be like, hi, I'd like to book an appointment with my GP on this date to talk about, like, my birth control, like, is also really great.
Not to mention, sometimes going to visit your doctor can be really intimidating, especially if you're a 15-year-old girl who's just trying to start this birth control journey, and your older white male physician also sees your dad. Mm-hmm. It can be a little uncomfortable. And I wasn't taught birth control in school. Like, these are things that I had to learn all on my own. So when going to the doctor, like, I didn't even know which questions to ask. I knew there were condoms and the pill, and I wanted to be on one of them. Mm-hmm. And, like, at the time, you know, everyone sort of turned off by condoms for whatever ridiculous reason. So I'm like, oh, well, for sure, the pill, let's do it. And I didn't even know that there's different types of pill and that each one could affect me differently. So going into these conversations and into this process, there is a lot of uninformation and lack of information, I should say, that can make it more difficult, and it doesn't have to be. So with Rhea, we want to be able to bridge that gap and enhance the current contraceptive counseling process with this one-on-one personalized support and personalized insights, so that it can, you know, at the end of the day, the user is at the forefront of this decision.
And I love that. What are the options that Rhea kind of goes through for contraception? Is it just all of them? You just say, hey, like, here's what we're aware of, da 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 da, like, you should try this type of thing. After, I guess, you know, you fill out, like, you create a profile and you do all those things. Like, is there, you know, is somebody going to come on here and be like, oh, well, you know, I feel this way and this way and this way, and, like, the options they could get could be, like, birth control, cycle tracking, condoms? Or is it, like, more so hormonal, or is it non-hormonal, or is it just everything?
So this is an awesome question. So our system on the back end, our database, includes information on every single birth control method, hormonal and non-hormonal, that is available in Canada. I specify in Canada because, say, the pill, for instance, there could be one active ingredient, so a mixture of progestin and estrogen, that is the same as another pill. They're just, like, branded and called something different. And in the States, there's different brand names for things. So we, at this point, are limited to options available in Canada, just, you know, our capacity as a small company. But when someone receives their results, it's based on what they told us in their questionnaire. So our system then filters through options that are totally irrelevant for them and only presents methods that make sense for where they're at, and, you know, can meet them at a place that they could thrive at and that could work really well for them. So our options are categorized off based on the form of option as well as the active ingredient. So if you get an oral contraceptive suggested to you, it'll be because it has a certain combination of low estrogen with third generation progestin, for example. And all of the ones that have that active ingredient, so the components that makes up the hormonal cocktail, if you will, are all presented because of what you told us about your menstrual cycle, your hormonal profile, and that combination of hormones will be best suited to your body and your biology.
And then I guess another question that I kind of have around the service as well is, like, we know we fill out a form and we get matched and we did it, but, like, how is this like a 1 year thing? Is it a, like a one-time consultation? Is it, what is kind of like the actual process around this service?
So we provide Rhea on a 4 month membership, and this is about the time that it takes for an individual to find a birth control option that they like using our service. Without using Rhea, the average time it takes an individual to find a birth control option that they like is 2 years. So my personal opinion, it's quite a value add there, but we users pay upfront and then they have access to our services for 4 months. So we chose the 4 month to start anyway, because you have the first month of the matching, accessing the birth control, talking to our team, receiving that counseling piece. And then 3 months is about a good chunk of time to allow your body to adjust to a new method. And that's where our tracking system and our support, follow-up support, comes into play.
Okay, cool. I just didn't know if it was like a, I guess what the timeline was. Because also too, like, I feel like 3 months is actually like a pretty decent amount of time to be like, is this working or is this not working? Because like you said, when you were talking about the IUD before, it's like, you're going to give yourself like 6 months. So it's like, I feel like so many people, like I said, I guess, give it way more time than it needs to be if it's not working. So having this almost like quarter assessment period is like super nice.
For sure. And I mean, everybody's body reacts differently. Like you may try a new option and within the first month, you're like tip top shape. Yep. Feeling good. Your body is totally adjusted. And other times it might take up to a year with some options. And it's just up to you if you're willing to put in that time for your body to adjust your method. Is that worth it for you or not? And if the answer is no, that's cool. That's awesome, really, because at least you're being honest with yourself and you are putting your needs first.
Absolutely. So before we go, I would love to for you to kind of plug or share anything that you would like to share with us.
Of course. Yeah. We right now are trying to build a community around birth control, reproductive health, sexual health and wellness, and really making space for people to celebrate their own unique journeys within that. You can find us on Instagram at Rhea Health, and our website is rheahealth.ca. But more importantly, we want to help you. We want to help you on your birth control journey. We're here for you. It's fucking hard out there sometimes. And we're here to listen. We want to support you throughout this process. So I do want to share a promo code with all of your listeners in your community for 30% off. It's super easy. All caps REA30. So that can be used for the next little while anyway for your listeners. And yeah, I'm really excited to continue to grow this community and support people throughout their birth control journeys. One of my favorite things to talk about. So I'm so grateful and so happy that you made space for me to come on and chat about my passion and life work, but I'm hoping that somebody can receive some sort of value of it, and we're here to help.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. I love doing these where it's not just like me, because I mean, I don't know everything, but I'm really excited that you came on and shared this with us. I think this was a good episode.
This is super fun. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. So the next thing I want to talk about when it comes to safe sex or just like sex in general is infections. So the first like type of infection that we're going to talk about is like your typical yeast infection. And then we will also get into UTIs and then also bacterial vaginosis. I did kind of speak on this on the Vagacial episode, which is one of the first episodes of the podcast. However, I did want to bring it up again because this is something that a lot of people I am finding do struggle with or have had experience with and don't really know what to do. So let's get into it. The first ever yeast infection I had was when I was very young, and you know, one of the symptoms of a yeast infection is actually peeing blood, and that's how I found out I had a yeast infection. Now, that literally has not happened to me since that one time. However, if you are sexually active, something that I had happened to me over a period of time last year when I was admittedly sleeping with a lot of people is I would get a yeast infection after up until a point, I would get a yeast infection every single time I had sex with a new person. And so I really think that's because my body was like, what is going on? Like, if you guys don't know, obviously the pH, the acidity, whatever it is of somebody else's body chemistry reacts with your own body chemistry. And like sometimes your body just doesn't like it. So a lot of the time I would get yeast infections after I had sex with people. And I was like, this is actually the absolute worst. But let me talk to you really quick about what an actual yeast infection is. So a yeast infection is a fungal infection, and it can cause things like irritation, discharge, itchiness, all of this kind of stuff. The symptom that I experienced the most that I knew when I had a yeast infection was discharge and itchiness after I had sex with people, and my body was like, no, ma'am, that is not it. For the longest time, I just did like an over-the-counter type of situation, like Kinestin type of vibe. But to be truthfully honest, that stuff is kind of expensive to be buying every single time you had sex. And like, for me, I was having a lot of sex last year. So I was like, I'm really not about to do that. So something that I also talked about, I honestly can't remember what episode it was, but something I talked about was these supplements called Nutriblast. So Nutriblast is actually a vaginal suppository that has boric acid. Now you might be like, Carly, what are literally all of the fucking words that you just said? Because definitely I was like that as well. If you've never done it, the Kinestin type of packages, they come in different types. So you can do like an external cream. I think they also have like an oral one, and then they also have a suppository. So a suppository, they give it to you on this little like stick, and you put the pill in it and you literally stick it into your vagina. I think these are the most effective because it literally gets to the root of the problem versus doing an external cream or an internal pill that you like take by mouth. This is like literally putting it into the field of the problem. So I do really, really like the suppository situation. However, like I mentioned earlier, I was not trying to buy a Kinestin thing every single freaking time I had sex with someone. So I looked for an option. Boric acid has been something that a lot of people have come across and have said that it works. And, you know, I'm pretty sure it's been tested and it's safe and effective and all this kind of stuff. So boric acid, I got these pills. They're called Boric Life and they are by the company Nutriblast, N-U-T-R-A, Blast. I got them on Amazon. They are incredible. Not only does this help to balance your pH, which when you do have a yeast infection, that's what's happening there. Like your you know, inner workings or your, I don't even know the correct word for it, your bacteria are out of balance. So the Nutriblast helps to combat the fact that you have an imbalance, which is giving you a yeast infection. It also helps to support your vaginal health overall, and I do really like them. When I was having sex and I was getting a yeast infection after sex and all this kind of stuff, I would start being proactive. So if I had sex with that person, I would immediately go home after, and then I would, you know, pop a boric acid pill into my vagina and like call it a day, because I knew I wanted to get ahead of it without it even being an issue. Before I used to do this, like I would get like the symptoms of a yeast infection like a couple days afterwards, but then I started taking these boric acid pills and it literally worked like a charm. Okay. I loved it. It was incredible. I had a great time. I still use them to this day. Obviously I'm not having sex because like we're in quarantine and I'm not fucking seeing anyone. But if I do go back to, you know, sleeping with a ton of people and having yeast infections, Nutriblast, they've got me. They are incredible. Having a great time. I would totally recommend them. The next infection that I want to talk about that is very directly related to a yeast infection is bacterial vaginosis. And you might have never heard this term before, but bacterial vaginosis is kind of similar to a yeast infection. So it's overgrowth of bacteria, which upsets like the natural balance, but it definitely is different from a yeast infection. And let me literally tell you from experience. So when I first started dating my ex-boyfriend now, we ended up having a day where we had so much sex in the day that we accidentally gave each other yeast infections. And then because I was not smart enough to recognize the symptoms of yeast infection because I hadn't had one for so long, my yeast infection somehow bred bacterial vaginosis. So I had a yeast infection and bacterial vaginosis at the same time, which let me tell you was the fucking worst. It literally felt like my vagina had like a trillion little paper cuts. The discharge was awful. I was so uncomfortable all of the time. And so originally I took like one of those Kinestin yeast infection things. And I was like, okay, cool. And it kind of helped, but also didn't really help because it just came back. I also should say that like bacterial vaginosis is definitely for women who are more in their reproductive years. Those are the people who are more likely to get bacterial vaginosis. However, I was literally like 20 when I got it. So, I mean, it can affect anybody. And let me tell you, it is not nice. It is not nice. I would not wish it upon anybody. So like I said earlier, I was talking about the Nutriblast supplements. In this specific situation with bacterial vaginosis, this is not something that I believe you can really treat over the counter. Kinestin does have bacterial vaginosis packages. However, I have never tried them because at the time I did not know I had bacterial vaginosis. I just thought I had a bad yeast infection. So I was only using products to treat the yeast infection. However, when I did go to my doctor, they were like, you literally have a yeast infection and bacterial vaginosis at the same time. So that was honestly just not a vibe, clearly. And I did have to get a prescription over-the-counter medication to deal with that. Now, if you're sitting here like, oh my God, what the heck? Like, how do I get rid of this? Like, blah, 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 blah. Really easy. It literally was just pills. I just took these pills for the set amount of days I was supposed to take the pills. And then you also don't have sex for a certain amount of days to make sure that it is completely gone from your body. And let me tell you, when I did do this, I took the over-the-counter pills, all of that kind of stuff. My body was fine. It reset. All of the symptoms went away. I didn't have to go back into my doctor to get like another set of pills or anything like that. It did go away and I have not had it again since. However, it was really not the best. So I would definitely say if you are experiencing, you know, different than normal yeast infection symptoms, please go get checked for bacterial vaginosis. Moving on to the last type of like things that I want to talk about in regards to infections that are like low level, I wanted to talk about UTIs or urinary tract infections. Those are definitely things that you can get from sex, but also not from sex. That can be simple as holding your pee too long and then you give yourself a UTI. That can also be a result of sex and stuff like that. So let's talk UTIs. So a urinary tract infection is an infection in any part of your urinary system, which includes your kidneys, your bladder, your uterus, or your urethra. Are we surprised? UTIs are definitely more common in women. However, 1 in 10 men will get an UTI in their life. So, I mean, men are not immune to the UTI. It's just obviously females who do have it more. So some symptoms of UTIs are burning when you pee, a frequent or intense urge to pee, cloudy, dark, bloody, or strong smelling pee, feeling tired or shaky, fever or chills, or pain or pressure in your lower back or abdomen. Personally, for me, I have never had a UTI, so I cannot talk from, you know, a lot of experience that I've had. However, I've had friends who've had UTIs and all this kind of stuff, and it's not the best experience, but let me, you know, talk through this a little bit. So something that when it comes to UTIs, a lot of people know is cranberry juice. Cranberry juice is literally always promoted to help with UTIs. You can use it preventative or you can use it treatment-wise. I am literally looking it up right now. And so this says the red berry, the cranberry, contains a tannin that might prevent E. coli bacteria, which is the most common cause of urinary tract infections, from sticking to the walls of your bladder where they can cause an infection. However, research has shown that it doesn't do much to reduce infections, but I feel like for me, a placebo effect, I'm like, okay, if I'm drinking it, it's working. However, there's no science to back it up. So don't take my word for that. But cranberry juice is an effective way to help treat existing UTIs. When it comes to UTIs, there is also people who do get chronic UTIs. Now, this could be from anything. They just have very sensitive bacteria and they have a sensitive balance when it comes to their vagina. And, you know, sometimes people just like get these chronic UTIs over and over and over again. So when it comes to chronic UTIs, this is saying that if you have 3 or more UTIs per year, you can be put on a treatment plan for chronic UTIs. So this is saying some options include a low dose of antibiotic over a long period of time to help prevent or treat infections, a single dose of an antibiotic after sex, which is a common infection trigger, and then also antibiotics for 1 or 2 days every time symptoms appear. So something I want to talk about again is the relation of infection and sex. For me personally, I would get a yeast infection a lot of the time when I had sex. I know people who do get UTIs when they have sex. This is literally just something that happens when your body is out of balance. You can get either or, kind of just depends on you. The prevention and stuff like that, if you do find yourself prone, you can get an over-the-counter medication as well as you can use the Nutriblast boric acid type of situation. This is also saying here that you should definitely drink more water, which I feel like is very tried and true tip. We always need more water. This is also saying that you should, if you are experiencing these symptoms, definitely choose a shower over a bath. As we all know, sitting in hot water is really not good for our entire vaginal area, the inside, the outside, all that kind of stuff. The heat, it just is not a good time because that can promote bacteria growth and all this kind of stuff. So please choose a shower over a bath if you are experiencing these symptoms. The last kind of tip when it comes to UTIs, this is a tip that you need to use regardless if you are prone to UTIs, yeast infections, XYZ. The tip, say it with me, it's to pee after sex. Always pee after sex. And here's why. You need to flush out the bacteria. You need to like get all this shit out of your body that you just had sex. I don't care if you used a condom. I don't care if you didn't use a condom. If you didn't use a condom, you need to pee even more after sex. Do not let somebody else's bacteria sit inside of you. Get up, pee after sex. I promise you, it will help. A little baby segment I want to talk about very quick before we get into our last topic, which is STDs. I actually want to talk about condoms. Now, this is something that my friends are on my absolute ass about, and you might be like, Carly, how can you sit here and do an entire episode about this? However, I am a condom hater. I don't know what else to say. I'm a condom hater. And here's the thing too, is I also am allergic to latex. So it is so hard when you're going on like a hookup to be like, oh, JK, like I also have a latex allergy and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like my friends probably rolled their eyes when I said it's so hard because it's really not. I really could just buy latex-free condoms, but I don't. So don't be like me and instead use protection. Something that I do have to really drive home the point here is that the only way that sex is 100% like not going to make you pregnant, well, one of them is abstinence. However, the other one is if both of you use contraception. So if you are on birth control and they use a condom, the likelihood of you getting pregnant is so low that it literally is basically non-existent. So definitely use a condom. If you are allergic to condoms like I am, then get a latex-free condom. They are probably only like $20 on Amazon. You can subscribe and save that shit if you are having a lot of sex. I am really kind of like pep-talking myself right now into this because this is definitely something that I struggle with. However, a little addendum I should make when it comes to condoms is I definitely don't use them when I have a consistent partner because, I mean, it's somebody that I trust and all that kind of stuff, but you do not have to do that if you do not feel comfortable. Always make sure you feel 100% comfortable in any situation when you're having sex with anyone. So that is something I just really wanted to say very quick. I don't really have a lot of wisdom on condoms, so just use them and be safe. Don't be like me. And yes, the last thing I want to talk about is STDs. That is the last thing that we are doing in our little segmentaroony situation. And I feel like I saved the best for last because I think a lot of people also have questions in regards to this. And I would kind of just like to talk about it a little bit. If you guys don't know what STD or STIs are, is they are sexually transmitted infections or diseases. I think they've officially changed the term to I. I don't really know why, but a sexually transmitted infection. Some of these include things like syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, herpes, other ones that I can't remember, but things like that. The ones that you've probably heard the most about are the ones that I just listed, and I did want to just talk about them really quickly. The first thing I wanted to say about STDs is that if you do contract an STD, I know it is very scary. I know it can potentially be a judgmental time. However, I just want to say that just because you contracted a sexual transmitted infection does not make you less than or less worthy or anything like that. It is something that just happens sometimes to the best of us, and it is something that happens to a lot of people. Now, you know, you can prevent STDs. We'll talk about that first. You can prevent STDs by using condoms, by being vigilant, by making sure that your partner is clean. You can also do this by not having casual sex. That is, I find, a time where a lot of people do contract any type of STD is casual sex, especially with the whole Tinder, Bumble, online dating app type of situations. That is definitely where a lot of this stuff is becoming very prevalent. So please keep that in mind when you are having casual hookups that, I mean, if you don't have a casual hookup and you do start seeing someone and you are both clean and all that kind of stuff, that is a really good way to prevent STIs. Something that I should also say is that you should never be embarrassed to ask if somebody has been tested recently or if they are clean or XYZ. There are certain STDs, I think there is literally one, which is HIV, which people are apparently legally bound to disclose if they have it because there is no cure for HIV. So if you do contract HIV from someone and they did not tell you, I believe you can take legal action on it. I am not 100% sure. Please look into it yourself. However, I just did want to mention that very quickly. But like I was saying earlier, there is no shame in asking someone if they are clean, if they have gotten tested recently, all of this kind of stuff, and also that you can definitely stop the interaction if they haven't been tested in a while or if they say they aren't clean or anything like that. You can definitely tell them that you are no longer comfortable having sexual interactions with them, and that is completely fine and 1000% your own choice. Now, let's say you do contract an STD, what happens? So I'm going to speak from my own personal experience. I actually have had chlamydia. So chlamydia, I feel like, is one of the typical STDs that I feel like everybody gets. It's like, I shouldn't say everybody. It's like the most common one that when I've talked to people is the one that people have gotten. So chlamydia is like, I don't want to say a low level STD because I don't think it is. But like I said, it is the one that I know that everybody has gotten that I have talked to. The first thing I kind of wanted to talk about is the symptoms. For me, I am asymptomatic with literally everything except for yeast infections. So when I had chlamydia, I had no idea. So you might be like, oh my God, what the heck? Like, did you sleep with people? Did you blah, blah, blah? And so when I first had chlamydia is when I was in a committed relationship of almost 5 years. So I got it because my partner had cheated on me, and I obviously, getting tested never crossed my mind because we had been together for so long. However, when I did get tested, I found out I had chlamydia, which also then I found out my partner cheated on me. So there are those situations, and I've had friends who have found out the same way, which is very unfortunate. However, it does happen like that. But like I said, I am asymptomatic. However, here are some symptoms of chlamydia. One of them is painful urination, vaginal discharge in women, discharge in men, painful sex or intercourse in women, bleeding between periods and after sex, and then also testicular pain in men. Reading these symptoms, I literally never had any of these when I actually had chlamydia. However, reading these, a lot of them are very similar to a yeast infection. So for example, painful urination or vaginal discharge, which I think is why chlamydia is so common, is it might be easier to get than the other ones because more people have it. I'm honestly not 100% sure. Now you might be wondering, okay, so you have chlamydia or you have an STD, what happens next? Specifically for chlamydia, you can go in, you get tested. When you get the results back that you have a STI or you do have chlamydia specifically, you do get antibiotics. So you can literally go in anywhere. We do have an STD clinic here in the city that I live in. However, you can go into any like Medi Center or like quick doctor situation, get a rec, you go do blood work, and then they call you. And then if you do have it, you do go into your doctor or whoever you saw, or they can also fax you a prescription and you can just go in and get it filled. And then you take these pills for X amount of days, you don't have sex for X amount of days after, and then you are good to go. You can get another test afterwards if you are skeptical about the whole process. However, both of the times that I've done it, I have not got a test after because, I mean, it's very effective. The treatment is very effective. So I've never had to worry about afterwards. That being said, that whole process is literally the same for almost every single STD. I haven't had any of the other STDs and I hope I literally never will. However, literally, you just need to be really vigilant on getting tested. For me personally, I am thinking of speaking to my doctor. Obviously not this year because, you know, we're in lockdown, we're not having sex, all of that kind of stuff. But I'm thinking of speaking to my doctor and literally just getting like 6 recs for an STD test and getting checked once every 2 months type of thing if I am sleeping with different people. It's good to just have them on hand and to just have a peace of mind. I used to be very bad at this. I went all of last year without getting tested and then got tested the absolute last month, literally December of the year, to find out I was clean and everything was good. But like, that was very irresponsible of me. So I'm looking to shift my habits when it comes to this into better habits so I'm not being irresponsible with my body and my health. So, like I mentioned earlier, you can definitely request multiple recs from your doctor. And if you are in the US, I believe that, obviously I don't live in the US, so I've never had this problem, but if they refuse to give you more than one, something that I've learned from Twitter, so I'm not even sure if this is 100% correct, but you ask them to note that in your chart so that, you know, when you get a new doctor or anything like that, your doctor literally has to acknowledge why they refuse to give you XYZ. And I'm hearing that like 9 times out of 10, what you wanted, they will actually give you because they don't want to write down the reason that they did not give you what you asked for. So, I mean, if you ask for a certain amount and they don't give them to you, you can ask them to note it in your chart and they will either note it in your chart and be firm on their stance or they will give you what you want. So just some like insider tips and tricks when it comes to that. Overall, I would definitely say please get tested consistently, especially if you are changing partners often. A good way, like I said earlier, to prevent this is to use condoms, have one partner you are familiar with, make sure you have good open and honest communication. However, there are situations where, for me, for example, I did have a committed partner and all this kind of stuff, and it just did not work out for me. So I would just stay on top of it, make sure, even if you get checked once every 6 months, if you're in a committed relationship, or once a year, it is always good to know just in case. That is it for today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. I know it was a long one, but I really wanted to sit down and have a full discussion on all of this with you guys, you know, bring my own opinions and my experiences, and then also some good Dr. Google into this. Like I said earlier, please, 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 if you are considering any of these or you have experience with any of these, you are currently experiencing any of these, please speak to your doctor, your gynecologist, a medical professional. I am not a medical professional, so please take everything I just said with a grain of salt. However, all of this was my own personal experience that I have dealt with that I wanted to share with you guys, just in case you had questions and this podcast was kind of the only thing that you were currently relying on to get, you know, sex education. Sometimes it just is not accessible and I totally get it. So that is why I wanted to do this episode for you guys today. And with that, that brings us to the end of the revisiting episode. I really hope that you guys enjoyed this episode and found it very informative and very helpful. Also, I hope you guys really enjoyed everything that you learned today from Dallas. I thought it was such an informative conversation, and I'm really excited to have Rhea Health on here. So make sure to code Rhea30 for 30% off at Rhea Health. Again, that is Rhea30, R-E-Y-A-3-0, for 30% off at Rhea Health. That is it for today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to screenshot this episode and share it over on Instagram and tag me at Hey Bitches Podcast. I would absolutely love to chat shit with you guys in the DMs about today's episode. Before you go, make sure to subscribe to Hey Bitches wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you are an Apple Podcast listener, make sure to give the show a 5-star rating and review. It really does help me out, and I would really appreciate it. I love you guys so much. I hope you guys have an incredible day. And for now, bye, bitch.